BBC.
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
It's 1 o'clock. I'm Billy. I'm 19. And I'm from Epping in Essex, off of Lyons. You might not know this, but I've wet myself in front of the Queen. Anyway, now it's time for my favourite show on the radio, Scott Mills!
The Scott Mills Daily.
So tell me about this story, please, Billy.
When I was about 9 years old, my school had a choir and we went to the Royal Albert Hall to go sing.
Were you in the choir?
Yeah, I was in the choir. I've got an amazing voice.
I bet you were in the choir, Chris.
I was in the choir, yes.
Do you know when you can just tell?
I was going to say, did you both have those little collar thingies that I love? Like, the choir boys wear those little, like, white...
No, it was just primary school. It was,
yes,
it was primary school choir.
Yes.
Oh, right.
I wore a little badge, which I thought said chore, but it was actually choir. I didn't know how to spell at that age.
Bless.
Yeah, so, and then I went, and then we... And then I realised that we were performing in front of the Queen and, what's his name? Prince Philip? Is that his name?
Yeah.
The Queen's husband?
Yeah. Off of Queen's husband.
Prince Philip, yes.
Yeah. And then, so, but I'd been really... The coach there was about 150 degrees, so I'd been really sick. So I'd been sick before we went into Royal Albert Hall. And then because we weren't allowed to move around when we were singing, I really needed a wee, and I just had to wet myself in front of the Queen.
Oh, did she see?
Well, I don't know, because I was saying, because she kind of like, just like, she was a bit like opening ceremony queen, just sort of like looking at her nails, sort of just like not bothered at all that anyone was singing.
Like so on the Olympics?
Weird. Yeah, kind of just sitting there like, she couldn't care less to be there.
Oh, I bet she did.
I don't know. I kind of think if you're the queen, you wouldn't really care. I feel like she's kind of dragged along to these things. Like, she doesn't really want to be there. She'd rather be at home watching Downton Abbey or something.
Yeah, but the Queen has that face that she just does. Like, it doesn't mean she's not enjoying it.
No, it's just like screensaver, isn't it?
Yeah.
Screensaver.
Isn't it illegal to do that in front of the Queen? Surely.
Well, I was nine, surely. To be fair. It's not like I was 19, like I am now.
True, yeah. But she didn't go, oh, goodness.
I don't think it was. I was about 20 metres from her. I don't think I smelled. That would have been quite bad if she went, what's that smell?
And where was this happening?
Royal Albert Hall as well. So it was quite a big thing, really.
Mind you, if you are going to wee yourself, that's a pretty cool place to do it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. If I'm going to, I might as well make a scene out of it.
But don't think the Queen wasn't enjoying it.
No, I'm sure I'll get a letter off her now saying, don't worry about weeing yourself in front of me.
Just because you've got that face on.
It is screensaver face, isn't it?
Oh, my God.
We should play that noise every time we talk about the Queen not enjoying it.
Just shutting down every time she comes into a room.
No sleep mode.
Yeah. Just remind everyone of where you're from.
I'm from Essex, a village in Essex called Epping.
Oh, blimey.
Have you seen the lion?
No, not yet, but I'm staying indoors, just in case.
That's right, lock your doors.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking it might be just some Essex girl with, like, a hair back combed, do you know what I mean? Like, I don't really think it's actually out there.
What, across the road?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure how you'd get those two confused.
What, an Essex girl with her hair back combed?
They're and a lion?
Yeah, you need to come here, seriously.
They're quite different in stature, though, aren't they?
Well, you say that, but...
I just saw on Twitter that apparently on the BBC News about an hour ago, someone who claims to have seen the lion was asked by the reporter, so what colour was it? And they said tanned. Is that true?
What, is a lion's tanned, or is that true?
Well, they are generally tan colour, aren't they?
Yeah, I think that's to be fair, that's not the best question to ask. Have you seen the lion and what colour is it? Have you seen the photo on the news?
It's incredible. I have. It's ridiculous. Oh,
it's a dog. It's clearly a dog.
It's just a really big cat.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but that is what a lion is.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not as big as a lion. Anyway, what are you doing today, Billy?
Nothing. I was going to go to Carnival, but then I'm not sure. I might go, but I don't know. But I'm not doing anything, really. I'm just chillaxing in my Essex house. I'm not going outside because of fear of lion.
Don't go in a hot coach if you are going to go.
Yeah, no, I won't.
Anyway, good to speak to you. Thank you very much for introducing the show.
Thanks, Scott.
Love you, bye.
Love you, bye. BBC
Radio 1. The Scott Mills Daily.
Hello, I'm Scott Mills. So, you may have heard there is a lion on the loose in Essex, apparently. I have no idea why we're playing the Springwatch theme.
I thought it was that Irish dancing music.
What, Riverdance?
Yeah.
No, it does sound Riverdance.
Yeah. This is Springwatch. Our man on the ground is Mark Wright. Good afternoon, Mark.
Good afternoon, Scott.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm going to be a little bit out of breath at the moment because I'm running around trying to look for this thing.
Yeah, okay. So you're in Essex right now.
Yep.
Where are you?
I'm at the gym.
Sorry?
You're at the gym?
I'm at the gym, yeah.
You're at the gym. Okay, what can you see it?
I can't see it. No, I've looked on the tennis courts. It's not there. It's not out in the field. And it's definitely not up in the gym by the running machine. So.
Have you looked behind the gym ball?
No, I haven't. Yes, good idea. I'll do that next.
Could you do that now for us, please? But be careful.
All right, give me 2 seconds.
Approach the gym ball with caution.
Do you know what? Because I don't think it's advised to go looking for this lion. I think you should stay indoors.
Hmm. Right, okay.
That's what they're advising.
I've looked behind the gym ball. It's not there. No. Okay. Definitely not there.
Well, thanks for that, Mark. If you don't mind, we'll call you back a bit later on to see
no problem.
If you
find. I'll keep looking.
Okay, that's great.
Is that all we're asking?
Is that literally?
Can you see it, Mark? No. Okay. Bye.
Yeah. It's Lion Watch on Radio 1.
I haven't got time for any more questions. I've
exactly.
got to do it.
Stay safe, Mark.
Okay. Stay safe. Stay indoors.
Bye-bye.
Love you. Bye.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Hello. If you're on a bank holiday, but not in Scotland. That's all right, because Scotland has other ones when England and Wales and Northern Ireland don't. It's fine, Scotland, you'll get your turn.
Who gets the most? Because I'm going to go and live there. Or is it all the same, just at different times of the year?
Can we look that up, actually?
What, where's the best place in the world for the most bank holidays?
Yeah.
has anyone ever Googled that?
Let's go there. Is your voice all right today, Chris?
I'm sorry, I'm suffering. I went to Reading Festival.
You got Reading flu?
I've got Reading flu, I think, yeah.
Right.
It's not that bad, though.
It's just when you... try and do something that's not on this level.
Is it an improvement?
I don't know. No.
Because sometimes when girls have voices like that, they sound quite hot.
Yeah.
But you just sound like you've got a bad cold.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So, Becky, what did you do on Friday?
Well, I went to Reading on Friday. What did you do on Friday?
I did the Radio 1 breakfast show.
Mm-hmm.
And then... some other stuff, some admins.
Yeah, then you went to the zoo. Now,
I did.
You didn't go to Reading Festival because you said you were too tired.
I was a bit tired. I've got a brilliant picture of me feeding the giraffes. Do you want to see that?
Is that one?
You weren't too tired for that.
So, because you didn't go to Reading on Friday, I had to go instead.
Right.
Right, because they needed someone to do your bit. And not that I'm a direct replacement for you, but they thought it might be a good idea if someone from the show went, so we can talk about it today.
Okay.
So... what you didn't tell me was that your bit was to introduce an act on the main stage.
I didn't know that.
Right, because I certainly wouldn't have gone if I'd known that, like, it is an incredible thing to do, but I was so nervous.
Yeah, I would have been.
And, like, all of a sudden, I'm introducing a band on the main stage at Reading Festival. I hadn't dressed up, I hadn't, like, practiced, I didn't have a clue what was going on.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, nice of them to tell you before.
Thanks for that. Yeah. But
I didn't know, honestly.
Right. So before I did it, Hugh was chatting to Fred from Spectre, and I asked him what the best way to introduce the band was going to be.
Something that we often do is like a bum, 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 and let me hear say Spectre, Spectre.
Right, so I thought that is obviously, having never introduced bands before, having never been on stage before at festival, I thought that's obviously the right thing to do. He's not going to lie to me.
Did you not feel that maybe Fred from Spectre was not being entirely serious by telling you to go on and do the Out Here Brothers?
No, he's saying that that's what he does at his gigs. Boom, 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 let me hear you say Spectre.
Something that we often do is like a bum, 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 let me hear you say Spectre, Spectre.
Oh, this is going to go wrong.
So it just happened that my band... that I had to introduce were called Coheed and Cambria, which I didn't realise until... Anyway, so Hugh introduced me before I went on.
Reading Festival, you are live on Radio 1! Celebrity introducer for this next band. It's Becky from the Scott Mills Show.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Becky, and do you know what? The number one thing, if you say, here's a celebrity introducer, people expect a celebrity.
They expect someone famous.
And it wasn't, it was me.
That's his fault for building it up. Oh, Hugh.
So then I had to go on after that.
Okay, do I want to hear this? I might have to turn it down.
Okay.
Okay, right. I'm just going to hold on to something because it's going to be one of them, isn't it?
It's going to be cringe, isn't it?
Okay.
So live on the radio, go for it, Becky.
Boom, boom, boom. Let me hear you say, Coheed and Cambria.
Yes!
You actually did it.
Yeah, I didn't realise until I started with the third boom that Coheed and Cambria wasn't going to scale as well as Skepta. Boom, boom, boom. Let me hear you say, Coheed and Cambria. Yes!
That actually happened on the main stage at Reading.
That's ridiculous.
Oh, my God.
That is ridiculous.
But, and then I ran off really quickly because someone told me that if I was rubbish, I'd get weed thrown at me. Yeah.
Off of Cher Lloyd.
So yeah. I went, Cambria, and then, like, pegged it off as quickly as I possibly could.
Let's relive it again.
Boom, boom, boom. Let me hear you say, Coheed and Cambria.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
That's brilliant, though. You've introduced a band on the main stage at the Reading Festival. That is awesome. I'd like to know if people are maybe listening in traffic at the moment. There's so much traffic coming out of Reading. Were you there? Did you see this momentous moment? Text me. I'm so proud.
The Scott Mills Daily. BBC Radio 1.
So many people saw your introduction to Coheed and Cumbria.
Cambria.
I saw.
Lucky you didn't do it.
I saw Becky introduce Coheed. Next time, I think a band with less syllables might be better. That's from Luke.
There won't be a next time.
Someone says, Becky introduced Coheed with unbelievable techers. We watched it from the tower, Scott and Ben on the M4. Unbelievable techers. Yeah. That means it is good. You've got good skills.
Thanks.
He's like, what's that mean? He's like, no, it's fine.
Yeah, it's not rude. It's
That's not one.
It's not what you think.
It's not one, no.
They're not admiring your techers.
I thought I had a high top on. Boom, boom, boom. Let me hear you say Coheed and Cambria.
I was at Reading Festival and I heard Coheed and Cambria being introduced. I didn't even hear the boom, boom, booms because the crowd was going insane. Good work.
The Scott Mills Daily.
And now back to Lion Watch on BBC Radio 1. We're getting people who are from Essex looking for the lion that apparently is on the loose. Police in Essex say they want you to have a fun bank holiday, but be cautious and vigilant. Don't let it spoil your bank holiday. Hello, Mark Wright.
How you doing, Scott?
I'm good. Where are you now?
Well, I'm now in Chigwell.
Okay, last time we spoke to you, we were in the gym. There was no lion there.
No, I just thought I saw it.
Right, okay, what was it?
I was walking through the park, I saw this big orange bit of hair, light coloured hair, but it was Nanny Pat, she just had a perm and she was sitting on the bench.
Right, it's an easy mistake. Have you seen, apart from Nanny Pat, anything that resembles a lion at all, like even a big dog?
No, I haven't actually, but I was with RJ earlier, but I can't find him, so he's either been eaten by a lion or he's out on the munch with the lion. I don't know what one
it
is.
I think he left me a message saying he was fine, so I think there's nothing to worry about there. Don't alarm people about Arge. We can't lose a national treasure like that. Have you checked in the supermarkets?
Not yet. That might be my next place, actually.
If you could head to the meat section.
Yeah, what about pizza restaurants?
They love pizza.
They love a pizza, do they?
Yeah.
That's news to me. I'll have a little look.
Just check along the high street in Chigwell. We'll come back to you a bit later, Mark.
Featured a bit.
Thanks very much.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Chris went to his first proper festival, as he put it.
Other than the Radio 1 big weekends.
And we now have a review. I enjoyed your Edinburgh review so much when we went to... Well, we sent you off every day, didn't we, to see a free show in Edinburgh at the festival.
Yeah.
People loved those. So, after going to Reading yesterday, Chris now has his review.
Mm.
Is this going to be on their website next year or something?
I don't know, I assume so.
Oh yeah, if it sells it, then yeah. Your reviews have been on posters before, haven't they?
Yes, they have, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, from the Edinburgh ones?
Yes.
Five Starks.
Yes.
Okay, so here it is. Chris's Reading review.
I've got to apologise for my voice before. That was Reading, of course.
Yeah.
Ready?
Are you going to mark this festival out of Starks again?
Can do.
Yeah, okay, out of five Starks.
Shall I crack on?
Yeah.
I'd had a good night out on Saturday night. It was my mate's birthday and the lads had had it hard in a reasonably trendy Australian bar nightclub in London town.
Your voice is awful.
I woke up... Yes, it is, I'm sorry. I woke up with Sunday morning TV on and kebab in face. But there was no time to wallow. It was the day of my first festival.
Do you do the kebab face thing again?
Yes.
Chris, we need to have a chat. This is happening sometimes twice a week now.
It's become a habit.
You're burning the candle.
Here is my small review. First thing I noticed on the train to the festival, that professional festival goers tended to be dressed in sunglasses, shorts, wellies, and many accessorised with a wacky hat.
What were you wearing?
I wore just normal t-shirt, jeans. Mm. I brought a hoodie and a coat as well in case it rained. Sensible?
Yes. More sensible than when you were in Carlisle at the big weekend last year.
Oh, that was cold.
You bought one T-shirt.
You actually wore, from the picture that you've just put up on Radio 1 Facebook site, you've actually got the same T-shirt on as you've got on now. Does that, can I deduce that you haven't been home?
It's getting into the spirit of festivals and not changing or washing.
My mate, who goes to quite a lot of these things, even had a pack-a-mac. It was a strong look.
I thought they were like off 60-year-old women who went on like country walks, not festivals.
What, ponchos?
No, not ponchos, but the macs that you fold up into a little carry bag.
Yeah, I'm aware that the poncho is big, but not so much a pack-a-mac.
Mm. It just sort of all folded into one. It was good. Mm. There was loads to do, and the local amenities were fantastic. I was intrigued to see that a stall that sold ostrich burgers.
Yes, that's on.
A place where I could charge my phone, and a place that for a tenner sold me the world's smallest pizza. My friend took me to a stall so I could look more festival ready. I tried on a few hats and sunglasses, and I took a couple of pics, and I think one of them's gone up on Facebook.
On the Radio 1 Facebook?
On your page.
Scott Mills' Facebook.
Yes. And then I was off. I thought I'd make an effort to go see some music.
Hang on a second. Those glasses, are they those free ones I gave you?
They're not, no. Very similar, though. Similar look. Do you mean the ones you bought back from Zanti for me?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they're not the same. First up...
€5?
Yes. First up, I went to the BBC introducing stage. A band was on... Not sure of their name, but there was loads of them on stage. It was like an indie blazing squad. They were quite good, and I stayed around for a couple of their songs.
But you still don't know what they're called?
No.
I don't think to ask anybody in the crowd.
Well, yeah.
For the purpose of the review.
Hindsight's a lovely thing. Shall I carry on? Mm. There was a couple of different tents and a massive main stage. This is where I was later to see a group called the Black Keys, who were much better than I expected, and are now my favourite band.
And they went from being much better than you expected to now your new favourite band.
Yeah. And the Foo Fighters, who put on a strong show. I proper had it to the Foo Fighters. I thought I'd give crowd surfing a go and persuaded a couple of guys in front of me to pick me up. I don't think I was far enough into the crowd, and the bloke was a bit of a weakling, so this attempt failed. I also went for a mosh, which was an odd experience. Basically, some lads pushed me around for a bit. Nice to say I'd done it, though.
Yeah, I've seen that. That happens a lot. It even sometimes happens at my student gigs, where people just kind of slam into each other.
To Carly Rae Jepsen, yes. And stuff like that. Yeah,
yeah, it's at my gigs, obviously, yeah.
Mm. Toilets were an interesting one. There were mass urinals for lads, but what was weird was when using the facilities, you would be face-to-face with another bloke on the other side.
Yeah, I've done that.
Separated by a sheet of plastic. It was weird looking another man in the eye as we both stood there mid-flow. It was really weird. It was just this small, sheet of plastic. So he would be right in front on the other side doing
everyone,
the same.
Everyone averts their eyes there. No one actually looks each
but
other in the eye.
You're used to going to the loo with other people. Didn't you have a conversation with, like...
Hugh Grant, yeah.
In the toilet.
Yeah.
But he was next to me at the urinal. I wasn't looking him in the eye when I was, you know... Hmm.
So what did you chat to this bloke about?
I didn't. We just stared at each other. It was really weird. Not particularly a highlight of the weekend, but worth pointing out in the review. All in all, nice day out. Would recommend it. Best festival I've ever been to. Obviously excluding Radio 1 Big Weekends.
Thank you.
Next up, I might give Festival a bash. which I believe is on in a couple of weeks.
Are you now going to become a festival goer?
I'm really tempted.
Are you going to be one of those people that leaves their wristband on all year?
Yes, look, I've got it here.
Oh, stop that at once.
Really?
No, I'm not down with that. Like...
It's very long. Don't you need to trim the ends? I'm sure people don't normally have that much, like, hanging off. Like, festival bands, like, Chris has got about 30 centimetres worth of extra string just dangling. Isn't that not going to get in the way when you're trying to, like, type and stuff?
We've done this on air before. People that leave their wristbands on from festivals all year round. And sometimes leave them on there for up to 3 years. Don't do it. It's wrong. The festival's over. Get over it. They smell.
I'm going to keep this one on.
Don't keep it on. BBC Radio 1. The Scott Mills Daily. Okay, good. John in Cardiff has a wristband on right now from Reading 2006, 7, 8, 9, 10. He missed out last year. And 12. Becky's got a good point. Do you just leave everything on then that ever gets put round your wrist?
That's the thing. Like, at what point do you leave it? Like, hospital tags? Are they in?
From when you were born.
I don't know what the rules are.
Yeah, leave that one on.
Leave it from when you're born. Like, yeah, it would break off, wouldn't it?
People are leaving them on from Reading 2005.
I'm going to keep it on.
Don't.
I give you to the end of the week and you'll have had enough of it dangling.
No, I'm going to keep it on for life.
Jake in Loughborough says, when a festival is that good, you want something to remind you of all the good times. Look at photos, maybe.
It's like when you go to clubs and you get them paper wristbands. I'm going to start keeping them on as well. It's going to be all right, like...
I might just not ever wash my hand and, like, leave the stamp
leave
on.
The stamps, yeah. The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1. Now, my friend Chris here tried something brand new last week. Rather than going home while we were doing the early shift, because we're on the breakfast show last week, he thought it would be easier and cheaper to stay at the youth hostel, which is right next door to Radio 1. And you loved it.
It was easier and cheaper.
It was.
It just meant that I could get another extra hour in the pub.
Yeah. And you spent the night in a room with three lovely blokes you'd never met before.
Yeah.
And everyone had a nice night's sleep, and then you woke them all up at 5 a.m. because you had to come in here. But it is literally 30 seconds walk away.
Is it all boys and all girls in rooms, or is there mixed ones? Because when I was in Australia, you could choose whether you wanted single sex or mixed.
Really?
Mixed was always way better.
Was it?
Yeah.
Why?
Like, because it was more of a laugh. Like, you don't want to... In the girls' rooms, like, you couldn't have any people back. Or, like...
What do you mean?
Sorry. No, but, like...
What are you saying?
That's really wrong.
It does.
No, but, like, girls who choose to stay in, like, only girls' dorms can sometimes be, like, a bit boring.
Hmm.
So, right, mixed okay. is always better, if you
so
ask me.
You always went for the mix.
Yes, I bet you did.
Did you go for the mix?
Well, the problem is, because I turned up about midnight, I can't tell... Like, you know, I obviously didn't look in everyone's bed to see who was in.
Right.
So...
But you were bottom bunk.
I was bottom bunk, yes.
Yeah. So, they have been on to us.
Who has?
The guy called James, who's the hostel manager for the London Central branch.
Right, okay.
Hi, Scott.
Let's put it that we now know which hostel it is that's next to Radio 1 and when to expect Chris, and if we can all just go there and wait for him to arrive.
Good.
Anyway, the subject of the email is chores outstanding.
Right.
Hi, Scott. Can you pass the message on to Chris that he appears to have left without completing his chores? I told you you had to do chores at these places.
I paid money.
No, you didn't pay much money, and that's why they want you to do chores. I told you. I did say last week you have to do chores if you stay there.
I didn't do any chores.
Well, I know. That's why he's emailed. If he could pop back after work today, as the sauna in the basement still needs to be cleaned.
There was no sauna.
How do you know that? You arrived at midnight.
But I wasn't... Exactly. So why should I be cleaning out the sauna for...
No, you don't have to have you. Use the sauna. That's just one of the chores that you have to do. Do you like to come to the sauna?
No, I would not like to come to the sauna.
Have you seen Hostel yet, as recommended by me?
Because it's going to put me off, isn't it?
A few people on Twitter, after listening to us last week, did watch Hostel and Hostel 2 this weekend. Properly freaked them out.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that place is like that, but do watch Hostel. Try and watch it tonight, after you've done your chores. Do you want to come to the sauna?
No, I don't want to go to the sauna. At all. And I won't... If I'm honest, I'm not going to be going to...
If I was 21 and from Scandinavia, would you want to come to the sauna?
God.
Anyway, thanks, James. I've got your email, and he'll be round about 4:05. The Scott Mills Daily. On Friday morning show, when we're doing the Chris Moore show, it had a slight end-of-term feel about it, and everything got a little bit out of hand towards the end. And lots of people just kind of overheard this on the radio, were a bit confused.
Muff has taken her eye off the ball.
If you were only half listening, you would not have known what was going on. Steph emailed from Darlington to say she was very surprised to hear this on Radio 1.
Everything we do for Muff.
And Nick from Basingstoke really wanted an explanation of what this is all about.
Muff has finally agreed to start charging for extras.
Now, we do need to explain this, because I think we all got so lost in the Muff on Friday. A lot of people don't even know where this came from. We need a full-scale inquiry here because something's happened. This was an episode of The Hotel Inspector on Channel 5. This kind of explains what was going on.
The three-star Godolphin Arms Hotel, owned and run by 71-year-old Margaret Ashwood, informally known as Muff.
The nickname Muff. So embarrassing. I even get letters addressed to Muff Newkey.
So that is Muff, who runs the hotel off of The Hotel Inspector on Channel 5. We counted up how many there were, but Becky thinks that it was wrong.
Yeah, because there's so many people, like, tweeted us and texted us and emailed. Like, I can't believe that you got them all. So I went back and tried to see if I could find any more.
And have you uncovered more Muff?
Some. Yes.
Well, that'd be a health and safety thing, won't it? She wasn't sure it was enough.
Well, I've just seen this. a record 204 of you emailed my scott.mills@bbc.co.uk account to tell us that we had messed up here. So you think it was a lot more that we didn't spot?
Mm-hmm.
More okay. Muff. More. So, shall we have a little recount? If you said the correct number on Friday, do you have to give up your Scott Mills points, or no. Should we just let it go?
Just let it go.
Okay.
Do we get to guess again?
Yes.
Yeah, guess again. How many muffs?
I can't remember what it was before. I'm going to go 40.
40? Are you having a lot?
I think there's going to be a lot.
It's way more than that. It's like,
is it?
Yeah, I'm going to say like 87.
Whoa.
Let's find out. Becky's found some more.
Muff has been the face of the Godolphin Arms for almost 30 years.
The nickname Muff, so embarrassing. I even get letters addressed to Muff Newkey.
Muff has been inspired to create a welcome pack for guests. Muff, Muff's business trip. Can Muff make a splash? Muff has some way to go. Muff must make her hotel a step on Newquay's tourist trail.
Queen Muff. Muff's business. The whole town expects to see Muff.
Muff has found the burden of running the Godolphin Arms even harder to shoulder. Muff is finding it hard to help keep Muff's head above water.
Hi, Muff, how are you?
Muff's guests are getting much more than they bargained for. Alex wants to know if Muff can make the numbers add up.
Muff doesn't really have an approach.
Can Alex help Muff? Muff, Muff's hospitality. Muff has calculated the income to help Muff migrate, but Muff has got to do her bit to raise profits. She wants Muff to toughen up if Muff doesn't change her ways.
It's going to be difficult for Muff.
Alex wants Muff, so Muff prepares to hit the road.
Muff's snail shell.
Muff heads up the coast.
Muff
continues her investigation. Muff is keen, and Muff's no longer so generous. Muff might have got tough.
I think it's going to be pretty hard for Muff. She's just Muff. She's stuck in the mud.
Can Muff talk turkey? Will Muff be more of a shark at the Sea Life Centre? With Muff now on a roll, Muff has proved she does have at least half an eye for business. Muff's new business brain, Muff's office. Muff with Muff. Muff has taken her eye off the ball and could be leading the Godolphin Arms down a blind alley. Muff and her staff could soon find the Godolphin Arms on its knees. Alex now wants Muff.
Everything we do for Muff. Muff has very high standards. It's got to be clean. It's got to be all fresh. It's got to be nice.
Muff's guests are getting much more than they bargained for. Muff's money pot. Alex wants Muff to start attracting some of Newquay's more profitable visitors. Muff has finally agreed to start charging for extras. Muff, Margaret, Muff, Ashwood. Muff, although Muff may have reined in the portion sizes, Muff, Alex wants to check Muff has done her sum. Muff's plan is to end the package with a barbecue.
Muff, like everybody, needs all the help she can get.
Muff's called upon some of her new partners, so has Muff done enough? Muff has got the thumbs up.
Everything we do for Muff.
Becky, you're so right. There are so many more in there. I don't know how we managed to forget all those muffs.
Uncovered the muff.
71.
Whoa.
71. Becky, you said 87.
Oh.
You're nearest, but I needed the exact total. 71 muffs. If you said it, give yourself 10 Scott Mills points. And thank you for, kind of letting us know that we need a recount on that. Good work, everybody.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Mark Wright seems to have gone AWOL, so I think he may be listening to Radio 1 and has heard that the search for the lion in Essex has been called off and therefore is now screening my calls, which is very tacky. But we were going to say that the search was still on and get him to look, but he's not on now. He hasn't even got a voicemail. His phone just rings and rings. So, hang on. I've just got a voicemail. I think that might be from him. Let me just check. Hang on.
Oh, what's occurring?
Yeah, that was Mark Wright returning my call. He says he's fine, and do I want to continue the search for the lion?
I thought this was like your on-hold music. It was like you put the Oh, What's Occurring thing on, put the nation on hold.
Do we tell him to keep searching or tell him that the search is off?
I don't know. Becky, what are you saying?
I'd quite like it if he just sat there for the rest of his life looking for a big cat that didn't exist, but, I mean, it's up to you.
I might text him and say it's off, because, like, we're going off air soon. I don't want to take up any more of his valuable time. He's probably doing another episode of Hollywood Nights or something. We're just getting in the way. And now it's time for Oh, What's Occurring? Featuring Arlene Phillips. You know when you have a big, nice, lush piece of chocolate, or maybe a chocolate cake? What face do you pull?
I don't know, it's not necessarily a face, because I'm eating it. It's more like a noise, isn't it? It's like...
I think there is a face. I think it's like, you know on adverts when people eat something really nice? It doesn't really happen in real life that often, but they close their eyes and go, I think that's chocolate face.
Or like look up to the ceiling.
You know, because we have faces for everything, like massage face, spoons, and now chocolate face. Well, did anyone see Saturday Cookbook on ITV1 this Saturday? Gary from Tiverton did and sent us an email. Thanks for this, Gary. You've provided today's Oh, What's Occurring? So, my question to you is, how long did Arlene Phillips on Saturday Cookbook on ITV1 spend making noises because she was having lush chocolate?
Oh, my word. This is going to be horrible.
What, so she was helping out in a cooking segment?
Yep.
And just spent the whole time going,
Yeah, the noises are quite something.
Okay, how long do people normally cook for? I'm trying to work it out. So say, like, the whole cake to, from start to finish is going to be about 7 or 8 minutes.
Yeah, that probably that long.
I reckon she...
She wouldn't be making these noises the whole...
No. I reckon 30 seconds.
Becky says 30 seconds of chocolate noises from Arlene.
No, that's loads, isn't it? She's only going to go, like, once or twice. Okay, come on.
She did get quite excited by
it. Okay, 20 seconds.
20 seconds, says Becky. Chris says...
I'll take 30 seconds.
30 seconds. Let us know what you think on 81199 for 10 Scott Mills points. Here's Arlene Phillips' chocolate cake.
We haven't had any chocolate for ages. We need chocolate.
Dreaded chocolate.
Love chocolate.
Really delicious. Super, super bad, but in a good way. Isn't it nice? Look at that lovely, delicate, light texture. Oh, look at that already. It's going lovely and thick. Could you possibly do me some of these balls quickly?
So, I'll do it.
Indulgence. Here's some wonderful... There's a little bit of raspberry liqueur.
You just want to put your finger in the bowl, don't you?
Oh, well, there you go. There you go, have that. But also lovely and moist as well.
Yeah.
I've heard it. It is too early on a Saturday morning to be double backflipping. Maybe tonight you just knock it straight out.
Yeah.
Okay. Roll that round. The chocolate set.
Yeah.
Obviously, this is something you can't just make all in one go.
Yes!
Arlene, that is my beautiful chocolate truffle cake with raspberry cream.
You can come to my house anytime.
That's amazing.
Wow. 58 seconds of... Arlene's noises because of a chocolate cake.
That is a good... Has anyone got the recipe for that? Because that sounds amazing.
She really did sound as if she was enjoying that. I wonder if she was as excited as that when she was tweeting you the other day, Chris. Oh.
BBC Radio 1. BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.